You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
News, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. The weather this afternoon is going to be mostly sunny with a high near 35, calm winds. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low around 24 with light south winds. Tuesday, a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 40, southwest winds 5 to 7 miles per hour, and the chance of precipitation is 20%. Tuesday night is a chance of rain showers before 4 a.m., then a slight chance of rain and snow showers. Mostly cloudy with a low around 32, southwest winds around 8 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 40% with little or no snow accumulation expected. Thank goodness. Wednesday, a slight chance of rain and snow showers before 8 a.m. Then it's going to be partly cloudy, partly sunny, actually, with a high near 39. West wind 6 to 8 miles per hour, and the chance of precipitation is 20%. Wednesday night will be partly cloudy with a low around 16. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 35. And Thursday night, a chance of snow after 8 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 22, and a chance of precipitation is 30%.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and this is NAMI's Hour, compliments at Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, where I'm broadcasting out of, it's all volunteers. We have no office. We have no paid staff. We work out of our houses. And what we try to do is we try to help people who have a mental health issue. That can be families who have someone in their family or someone that they are close friends with or someone they work with. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be blood relative. But we do it in various ways. We do it by, we teach a 12-week family-to-family class, which is actually my wife and I are going to start teaching it February 18th. At 7 o'clock, and it is, you have to register. It's totally free, but you have to register because we can only have so many in a class. We run support groups. We try to, what they call, educate the educators, because in this day and age, a lot of families are both working and they don't get home, and the teachers are the ones who spend most of the day with the children. And we try to teach them to observe different things that may pop up or whatever. We run support groups, and it's like I said, everything is totally free. If you'd like to get a hold of us, it's 908-284-0500. We do not man it 24/7, but someone checks it at least twice a day, and we will get back to you, I promise. We are very privileged today to have with us, I'm probably going to murder your first name, Doctor. Are you there?
Yeah, it's all right.
I tried. I got your email on how to do it, but I'll give it a shot. But that'd be probably the only time I'm going to try. Dr. Gagandeep Singh. Did I say it halfway right?
That's actually very good.
Dr. Singh is the owner and executive director of the Center for Wellness. And I met Dr. Singh at a NAMI conference, I don't know, before Christmas, probably the early part of December. And we had got to talking, and I suggested that he might want to come on a radio and, you know, let people know what he do and what he does, and that the Center for Wellness is there if anybody would like to make use of it, and so on and so forth. So, Doctor, would you explain exactly what is the Center for Wellness?
Sure. First of all, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on your program. I'm humbled and honored that you even put forth the opportunity, so I appreciate that. And just a little bit of background, the Center for Wellness, which I founded, we've been established since the middle to second half, actually, of 2014, so we're a fairly new agency. What we have there are two different levels of care at this point, and it will eventually expand to three. And I can kind of parse out the details for you. One level of care is what we think of as traditional outpatient care, where that would be once a week or perhaps twice a week, individual counseling with a therapist for situations you may be going through in your life, stress, anxiety, even obviously diagnosed symptoms of depression, et cetera. And you may also have couples counseling, family counseling. We've had patients come in for that as well. So that's your typical outpatient. We have therapists that provide mm-hmm. that service. We also then have what we call IOP, intensive outpatient, and that is actually a state-licensed facility which is mandated to meet minimum requirements by the state. Right now we have a license through the Division of Addiction Services, so we have the substance abuse intensive outpatient program which runs in the evenings. What that means is that we are available at least 9 hours per week. Right now our schedule is a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday evening. We have actually tried to be very flexible, and we've actually had staff come in to accommodate patients who have different work schedules or other commitments to make a Tuesday available as well as needed. The IOP is group-focused treatment, so you're in programming, you know, those 9 hours with a group. Other clients or patients who are struggling with substance abuse issues. We do have dual diagnosis as such because there are plenty of people who are struggling with substance abuse disorders but also have underlying mental health issues.
Absolutely.
And we respect that and we understand that, and that's something that we keep the focus on quite a bit because the groups are not just about substances and relapse prevention but also about education and psychoeducation in general, as well as coping in healthier ways, because a lot of times it's the depression or the anxiety or the loss or the grief driving the addictive behaviors as well. Not to mention the addiction, you know, itself. Mm-hmm. And what we do also provide is once a week within those 9 hours, there's also either within or sometimes if the schedule does not allow it within the 9 hours, then additional to that, we provide once a week individual sessions with our patients. We also provide at least once a month family sessions to bring the family or loved ones in to work with the patient on maintaining that sobriety and getting the most they can out of the program. So those are the two different levels. And the third level is actually called partial care or partial hospital, which we do not just have yet, and that is because we're waiting on the mental health license. So with the substance abuse program, we have chosen, or I have chosen, I should say, to pursue the IOP. But we did not pursue the partial hospital, and that's due to, you know, my own research and kind of my own experience with what IOP has provided and whether there was a differential benefit to partial care or not, and we chose at this point to keep the focus on the IOP at this time, the 9 hours a week at this time. But the mental health license, which is hopefully just a few weeks away at this time, we've had it, you know, with the state for a while, the application, we've heard no concerns. It's just a process of waiting for that. That will provide the IOP equivalent level for mental health and partial hospital, which is by definition 25 hours a week of treatment. So that's kind of like, I equate it to going to school for treatment, kind of coming in around 10 o'clock, and we're going to parse out the details of the schedule, but something around 10 o'clock hour to about 3, 3.30, 5 days a week with a break to grab a bite. But otherwise, it'll be groups consistently throughout the day, and there'll be individual counseling once a week as well. In a partial care setting, the patients will be seeing myself, as I'm a psychiatrist by training, and when they step down, quote-unquote, to an IOP level, which is equivalent to what we have now for the substance abuse, it's usually in every other week meeting with a psychiatrist, and of course they can step down from either program beyond the IOP down to our traditional outpatient services. So there's a few different levels of care that we're trying to provide so that if people are coming in for services, they don't feel like they're having a disconnect or a loss of continuity of care
right.
with the therapist that they've created a relationship with and a bond with. Because that's sometimes difficult to shuffle between providers for different levels of care.
You know, what I find interesting is when I think of IOP, I think of involuntary outpatient, where they have jail diversion for, you know, which I'm sure you're familiar with. But that's my opinion of that's what I associate, you know, the IOP with. And you're saying it's intensive outpatient, which, you know, is a little different than involuntary. Am I right?
No, you're absolutely right. So this is an entirely voluntary program. This is, I should have perhaps led with this. We think of inpatient and outpatient in kind of a broad kind of swath of things. And on the lower end of the spectrum in terms of intensity is where I was mentioning our outpatient individual counseling.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to the outpatient world and you're working your way up the spectrum in terms of intensity of services, after outpatient, which is deemed level one in you know the ASAM criteria and things of that nature with substance abuse, then level two is IOP, and then level three is moving on, and they go up to level five. And level three, I want to say, is partial care, and then four and five are more inpatient.
Okay.
So the inpatient services include medical detoxes, rehabs, things of that nature, where people are staying in a residential in-house facility and staying, you know, spending the nights there.
Okay.
We are a step, maybe a step and a half, if you want to say it that way, below the inpatient. And so it is a voluntary program. It is entirely up to the patient to attend regularly. We do, of course, have, you know, if we have concerns clinically about lack of attendance, we sit down with the patient. We kind of address the barriers to why they're not getting in as frequently as they should be. Are they struggling with still relapsing? Are there other stressors that are keeping them away? You know, what are the concerns that they're having? We actually draw up contracts with patients to, you know, kind of give them a little bit more accountability and support that we're here and we are, you know, concretely monitoring the situation so mm-hmm. that we can assess with them where they need to go next in terms of treatment. Hopefully they can stay with us. If they need a higher level of care, then that's something that we would, you know, refer them to and help them get actually linked in with those services. In fact, you know, not to digress too much, but my own experience has been in programs similar to what I started at Center for Wellness in terms of my own career. I have a private practice, which is separate, but then I have work experience at these kinds of facilities and agencies. And what I found was at times, at least with some locations where I worked, I felt the patients were sometimes not attending as frequently as they should be,
mm-hmm.
or you know, coming up with positive drug screens and not really making the clinical gain that they should be making, you know, especially these days with the growing epidemic of opiate addiction, the dangers that are involved with that are quite great.
Right.
And so one of my concerns and one of the reasons I left where I was I felt the clinical team, from an administrative standpoint, didn't feel supported to firmly redirect and perhaps discharge to a higher level or kind of really get on the patient about making sure that they prioritize treatment because it's for their own best interest and for their own safety. And it seemed like there was a little bit less than the intensity of the focus that I would have wanted to make sure the patients are getting the best care possible. And so I felt that that wasn't something that I really could believe in. And one of the reasons I kind of stepped away from the role I had at that time. And that motivated, actually, that drove the Center for Wellness idea in a large part, because I wanted to make sure that we were doing something that was ethical and medical, you know, with a medical model involved in terms of my being a clinical director, being able to provide my feedback. And because we are a smaller agency and because I do function as a clinical director, although I'm not running the groups myself, all of the therapists are filtering information back to me, and we're doing case reviews and having treatment team conversations about what's going on with each patient. So I'm abreast of what's going on, and I can help make recommendations. And we're a small agency just, you know, getting started, and yet, you know, when we've had to, not from a quote-unquote business standpoint, but more from a clinical standpoint, we've made the decisions that I think have been the right decisions of referring to a higher level of care and things of that nature, because it's most important. Obviously, patients get what they need when they come to treatment, and I'm really passionate about that piece that I felt was sometimes lost in the running of an agency as such. And I think we've staffed ourselves with solid folks who are very patient-centered and want to make sure the patients get the best that they can. So that's kind of the theory behind where Center for Wellness comes from and kind of the vibe where it comes from.
I have to ask, and I ask most my guests this, how did you decide that this is what you wanted to do? I mean, you know, all right, you have a doctorate, so obviously you went through a lot of schooling and everything. But how did you decide that this is where you wanted to, you know, have your profession as in as a psychiatrist and in that line of work?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, honestly, you know, when I started out, when I was a fairly young age,
you're still pretty young. I met you, you know.
Younger, when I was younger.
Okay, younger.
But when I was fairly young, I would say, I had perhaps somewhat stereotypically the idea of, you know, become a doctor, and that's what you do. But quite honestly, it was something I was interested in from a very young age in the sciences, and it kind of fascinated me. When I went to undergrad, I could not get away from my love of psychology and just how the mind works, not just how the body works physiologically, but how the mind works. And when I went to medical school, I considered pediatrics for a bit there, but I really, again, kept finding myself drawn to psychiatry, and that's where I found kind of the perfect marriage of all three worlds between bio and psych and working with kids. I pursued a psychiatry residency and then a fellowship in child and adolescent psychiatry. And then I became board certified in both of those. So by training, I'm a board certified adult psychiatrist and board certified child adolescent psychiatrist.
Right.
And then how I ended up, you know, at Center for Wellness, or finding Center for Wellness as the direction I wanted to go in. Out of my training, my first role was in a director type of position, psychiatric director of services at one of the newer locations that was opened up by one of the agencies that I had experience working for. And I saw firsthand this kind of model of an IOP in partial hospital. We had a partial hospital at Rutgers, which was UMDNJ at the time, and now back to Rutgers again, up at UPHC in Piscataway. And I did see the partial hospital, you know, stepping down for patients who were hospitalized at the inpatient level and then needed some support, which I think is a wonderful idea. I do agree very strongly with stepping down, you know, to a partial level of care from an inpatient when you leave. And akin to that with substance abuse, we do that when people are stepping down from a rehab or a detox. We strongly recommend the IOP for that reason. In mental health, we would eventually be having the partial first step down and then further step down to IOP. But in either event, when I saw that actual support system for patients, and I saw that they were still getting group therapy, they were still getting family involvement, they were still being able to see a psychiatrist with quite a bit of regularity and maybe multiple times a week if they needed it, that was a level of care that was unparalleled, you know, in the traditional outpatient world. So it seemed to me that it was just doing a great service to people. And, you know, I felt that it would be something that I could bring, hopefully, to this location, this area. I'm local to where we have the Center for Wellness, where, if I may plug our location.
Sure, absolutely. I was going to ask you then about it anyway, so go ahead.
Perfect. So we're in Monroe Township. So that's southern Middlesex. If you look at the map, we're kind of on the cusp there of Mercer to the west and Monmouth to the east and directly south, pretty much Ocean. And kind of the running joke that my staff and I have is, you know, how far is just about anywhere in Jersey from anywhere in the central Jersey area from us? 20 minutes, you know, Freehold is 20 minutes, Princeton is 20 minutes, New Brunswick is 20 minutes, and it's pretty accurate, actually. So,
except Hunterdon County, that's a little further.
You're a little bit further, but...
We go for a half hour.
Yeah, you are a little bit over a half an hour. Right. Yes. So, we're off the turnpike. We're off of 130. We're off of 33. So, it's fairly acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell people all the time, as we must have, I'm sure, said to you and anybody that walked by that day at the NAMI conference, you never know who you know, where you know them, who might need services. So, we always want to, you know, share that we are available in Monroe Township.
Absolutely.
So, that's why I kind of wanted to open up a location here and start the program, you know, up here in Monroe Township.
Right. And, you know, I am familiar with the fact that we have four children and our youngest son has schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. And I know that he had been hospitalized initially after, you know, a couple attempts on his life. He had been hospitalized for well over 2.5 years between carrier for 28 days till my insurance ran out. They transferred him to Trenton Psych. He was there for almost 20 months. They transferred him to Hagedorn when it was still open. He was there for a little over 10 months. And when he got out, he was in and out a lot of times. But my point was that when someone, you know, whether it was my son or anybody, gets discharged from a hospital, it's you know, they're used to regimentation. They're used to breakfast at, I don't know, 8 o'clock, lunch at noon, supper at 4 or 5 or whatever. And, you know, take your medicine this time. And, you know, so when they release that person, male or female, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. They need some kind of structure yet, you know, and that's why I think, you know, outpatient follow up, if you want to call it that, for lack of a better word, is awesome because it's what they need. You can't just discharge somebody and say, okay, bye, you know. Because, as you well know, it's not, you know, their mental illness is not cured. It's, you know, it may be under control, but it's certainly not cured and never will be until they find a cure for it. Hopefully they will. Maybe not in my lifetime, but, you know, hopefully they will. But the point is that they have to, you know, a person has to have some kind of structured day after they get out of the hospital. And that's why I think, you know, the center that you opened, I think, is awesome because it helps people that way. You know, even if it's substance abuse, you know, they go into a rehab program, they come out, they need, you know, still some kind of structured day, you know, because right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to speak to that point. You know, structure is one of the biggest things that we preach. And you know, I, as a private practice psychiatrist, I've had folks, and since I work with teens as well, I've had, you know, teenagers come back and they've gone to a hospital and they're coming out to see me for the first time, and they were just discharged, and there's no linkage with a partial care program or an IOP program. And it's a little bit surprising that the hospital discharged, you know, without that recommendation, because those services are available and people may not know as much about them. So that's why I appreciated the opportunity to come speak on the show, because if nothing else, people will understand there's different levels of care, and it doesn't go straight necessarily from hospital to, you know, see your doctor once a month and see your therapist once a week, because that may not be enough. And speaking, you know, to the structure, a large part of it's the structure, you know, in the program, but also the structure kind of being back at home. You gave your son's example, or if I talk about some of the patients that we've served, you know, since we've been open, or people that I've just seen in other places that have gone through treatment. One of the big things about IOP or partial care that helps them be successful, hopefully, is that, you know, when you're in a rehab or you're in an inpatient facility for days or weeks or months, if the case may be, you're obviously isolated from the real world triggers and stressors you may be feeling when you go back home. And when you do go back home, you know, in 12-step meetings when it comes to substance abuse, you know, they talk about people, places, and things, but it's very similar in terms of symptoms of depression and anxiety. There's people and places and things that can trigger symptoms of all types.
Sure.
And
absolutely.
Just the stresses in general. So if you have the ability to kind of intertwine treatment and regimented and structured treatment at that, alongside the home environment and being, you know, in the setting of day-to-day regular life, I think it's a little bit more powerful and a little bit more applicable, and you can kind of build the tools around real life rather than building the tools in the bubble of the hospital.
Yeah.
And not to take away anything from a hospital or rehab, because those are absolutely necessary services, but there is a bit of a disconnect when you leave and you're back at home with family, or perhaps you may not have as much family to be as supportive as the other person who left with you today has. So there's different dynamics in each person's home. There's different stresses
right.
in each person's life. There's different needs each person has. And an IOP program, which lasts, you know, we didn't talk about the duration. I wanted to mention.
I have a question. I was going to ask a question about how that, though. So, you know,
okay.
you can go on it if you want. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I was going to say the duration of IOP, you know, I've looked at the research, and you know, we typically expect for a substance abuse IOP anywhere from 8 to 10 weeks of treatment, and mental health perhaps 10 to 12 weeks of treatment has been the norm that I've seen. And that's based on some research, but it's also based on the fact that it is person by person. I mean, if somebody is doing very well, not having any relapses, and the family's coming in to support them, and they seem to be really getting it and using the structure, and they found themselves an appropriate routine that keeps them free of the triggers and the relapse risks and cravings that they were having before, you know, perhaps they can be on the shorter end of the stay.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's had some, you know, slip-ups in the beginning and had a couple of relapses, you obviously may not count their sobriety from day one because they weren't able to maintain it initially. So
well, you know, I think you're going to find that, though, doctor. You know, I mean, it's great if somebody doesn't have a relapse and, you know, goes on, but how many times have you, I'm sure you have, and working with NAMI and how many times people have relapses, you know, with, you know, alcohol and drugs. And I certainly am no counselor for alcohol or drugs, but I just a lot of times families who we deal with, their loved one has both, you know, either a drug or alcohol problem and also a mental illness. But and they'll be clean, and then all of a sudden, boom, they'll start again. You know, something will trigger it or whatever, you know, break up with a girlfriend or something, you know. And so, yeah, I can totally understand that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's you're right. It's quite common that we will see a relapse. And so we don't have a, you know, you come in the door and it's martial law and you have a one strike and you're out policy. I mean, we understand people are struggling. They're coming back from a rehab or a detox or something, and again, we understand there's a transition back to real life. We understand there's stressors. We understand the family has to get in there, ideally, to get some therapy done. The individual has to obviously, you know, buy into coming to groups regularly and taking this seriously and making the effort to stay sober. And that mindset may take some time to develop.
Mm-hmm.
So while one of my concerns was that other, you know, agencies may not have been referring at the appropriate pace, maybe kind of giving it too long, we also at the same time don't immediately send somebody to a rehab, you know, as soon as they're relapsing, because we understand obviously that's just not a feasible expectation that they're not going to relapse at all. But we obviously we are kind of educating about abstinence and helping them get there. But, you know, kind of the unwritten understanding is that relapse is essentially a lot of times part of the recovery process, and we just work people through that. We want them to get linked in with, you know, 12-step meetings if at all possible, and obtain a sponsor and have other structural parts to their day that are somewhat constant and healthy and sober.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that's definitely, you know, that's definitely a part of what we're looking at, and we are seeing obviously some relapse in the beginning of treatment, but hopefully towards the end, obviously that's no longer an issue if we can help this person out. So we've had some success with that, and you know, the studies do seem to show that IOP level of care, or, you know, that intensive level of care is sometimes in some ways even more beneficial than rehab, although a lot of people do well coming out of rehab. That follow-up of having the IOP, again, just intertwining
mm-hmm.
it into your day-to-day life has
right.
a different aspect to it that the rehab doesn't have.
Right. I just want to throw out that my son, after 19 years... is doing very well. He has his own apartment in the town of Flemington. He takes his meds religiously, thank goodness. He volunteers one day a week at the hospital, and he works 3 to 4 days a week at BJ's, part-time, but that's fine because that's what he can handle. And he's come a long way from originally, so you know, I just wanted to throw that out. I have a few other questions, but I have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few moments. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged to have with us Dr. Singh, who's the owner and executive director of the Center for Wellness in
Monroe Township.
Okay. And we'll let you give the phone number and all that jazz in a bit, too, okay? But we'll be right back, so just about 2-3 minutes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged today to have with us Dr. Singh, who's the owner and executive director of the Center for Wellness in Monroe Township. And we have been discussing IOP treatment, substance abuse, and also I have a couple questions, doctor, I'd like to ask. How does someone come to you for treatment? Do they get referred from hospitals, police departments? You know, how does that work? Or do they just say, you know, I got a problem, I need help, you know?
Yeah, sure. No, that's a great question. Actually, there's a myriad ways that, you know, that could happen. One, obviously, is a higher level of care, such as a detox or a rehab for our IOP, but even for our outpatient services, it could be from a hospital, it can be from primary care doctors or pediatricians in the area. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned pediatricians because one thing I mentioned about myself being a child adolescent psychiatrist, I wanted to clarify the IOP, we actually have two IOPs that we can serve. One is the adult IOP. We also have a teen IOP available from 13 to 18 years old for the substance abuse.
That's
and
awesome.
Our outpatient counseling involves, you know, teens and kids as well. We have had patients as young as, I believe, 8 or 9 for individual counseling thus far. And then families, you know, kind of a family dynamic counseling if necessary as well. So that involves kids and parents. But how people can reach out to us, sometimes it's as simple as these days, a Google search. You know, people will put in therapy for depression and we might
right.
pop up or something
right.
like that. Typically, you know, we are trying to do whatever we can to make those relationships with the rehabs in New Jersey and outside of the state. There seem to be a lot of people who go down to the Florida area for rehabilitation for substance abuse, especially. They have a slightly different model of how they do things down there,
mm-hmm.
And then come back to New Jersey. So we are reaching out to make sure that people know that we are available. And then through insurance, you know, people can look on their in-network kind of options. So for our IOP program, We are in network with Cigna. We are credentialed with Value Options, which is Horizon Blue Cross.
Right.
So it's a matter of signing some paperwork to be officially contracted and in network with them at this point, which is hopefully a few days from now will be sorted out. We're working to try to get in with Aetna and Optum and Oxford and UBH and all the other insurers out there, so people can have it in their kind of insurance packets, or they can call into their case managers and get that information from them about what's available, or go online. But in terms of referrals for people who are seeking help or have loved ones or friends who are needing help, a lot of it's word of mouth. A lot of it is through peer relationships and medical practitioners as well as counselors in the area.
Okay.
Use mental health may decide they want a higher level of care with our IOP or wants to switch therapists or something.
Right. All right. Let's say for argument's sake that I come into your center. Mm-hmm. What happens? You screen me, you interview me, what is the process that you use?
So typically when you call the Center for Wellness, it's either myself or kind of my right hand person, whose name is Lori, who's been a great support in getting everything up and running and you know, being there at the office for us.
Was she the lady that was with you at the—
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Very nice woman, in fact. Yes, yeah. I have to agree.
She's wonderful and she's super committed to the center. In fact, you know, it kind of speaks to her dedication that she comes up from the Ocean County area to Tom's River area to come in and come to the office because she believes in what we're doing so much. And she's working very hard to make sure that we can provide that care. So either she will pick up the phone or I will pick up the phone, typically when you call them during normal business hours. And we'll just ask a little bit about, you know, what are your concerns? What do you think you need to come in for? And if we hear, you know, I'm going through a separation, or my kid and I are having trouble, or I've been diagnosed with depression and I'm seeing a psychiatrist, but I need some counseling. We kind of know that that person needs mental health counseling more so than the IOP, which is substance abuse at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So we can kind of gear accordingly, ask what your availability is, get your schedule sorted out, and put you in for an intake assessment with one of our therapists. We have three therapists who are doing outpatient work, and two of them are doing the IOP.
Okay.
So any one of them can meet with you for your intake assessment, and then with that therapist, you would then proceed to schedule your future appointments. If you came in for the IOP intake, you would be told about what the schedule is, and you would be, after that one assessment that day, you would then be asked to return the next IOP day. With the IOP, one of the steps that we go through is we speak with the insurance companies to get what they call prior authorization or pre-certification,
because
for those kinds of programs, that's typically needed. So we get that and make sure that that's taken care of before you come in, so we don't ask you to come in, you know, we ask you to come in the next day or the next program day so that we have some time to take care of that if you meet IOP criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't had any issues with that. If we felt that somebody needed IOP, we haven't had any issues with the insurance company disagreeing because, like I said, we're using clinical guidelines to make these decisions. So to kind of answer your question, what would happen would depend in part on what the presenting concerns are.
Right.
And what you're asking to get assistance with. So it would kind of, the intake assessment would be the same idea, but the programming would be based on what the outcome was of that assessment.
You know, having dealt with families and people with mental health issues, including my son for the last 20 years, I find that there is a, I don't know, I don't want to call it a rule book, but procedures that you follow. You know, if this happens, you should try to do this, this, and this. And I'm sure it's similar in your situation. But what I find that a lot of times is you have to improvise, because the person you're dealing with doesn't fit in that typical category. Do you find the same thing?
Well, in a couple of different ways. I mean, one is, you know, when it comes to the IOP, you know, there should be, we were talking about a little bit earlier, there should be some abstinence, there should be 12-step meetings, there should be attendance of the program regularly. And like I said, when that doesn't quite happen the way it should, the individual sessions that our therapists have, and even in the group, one of the benefits of a group session is really the peers who are hopefully doing a little bit better and further along in treatment can kind of try to hold their newer kind of rookie peer more accountable for their treatment and their success, and try to, you know, have a more, you know, it doesn't feel so much me versus them when it's other peers as opposed to when it's a treatment provider saying you should be doing X, Y, and Z. While our treatment providers are, I think, extremely, appropriate and ethical and I think, positive in their approach towards our patients, I think just for a patient to hear it from another peer is different than hearing it from a treatment provider.
Right.
But from our end, we also, like I said, put into place even written contracts just so there's a concrete kind of understanding of it. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of, you know, outpatient, when we're looking at what exactly is the, you know, recipe to treat this person or to help this person out, you know, somebody might come in with depressive and anxiety symptoms, and as you get to know them, you uncover some history of abuse or trauma. So you might have started off with some psychodynamic counseling. You might use some cognitive behavioral techniques in that, and then you realize there's some more trauma, so you might start working on some worksheets and bringing in some information and some techniques that focus more on how to process trauma, because you need to address that. So there's definitely not a cookie-cutter approach to treating each patient, and I think our therapists have been very successful. Lori, actually, the same woman that you met, mm-hmm. Lori has taken on a large brunt of our outpatient clients because as much as she handles a lot of the administrative stuff for us, she's really great clinically. And I wanted to make sure that some of our patients would have her there as well. And then we have Sarah, who's great, and Paula, who's been in the field for a while, who's excellent. So we have a really solid team, I think, on the mm-hmm. outpatient side, and Sarah and Paula are actually doing the IOP.
Tell Laura I said hello, okay?
Will do.
All right. Because no, I was just impressed with both of you when I was talking to you. You know, because of your enthusiasm and your knowledge, obviously, and, you know, and it's like with me, it's, you know, people ask me why I do all this, why I give presentations, why I do the radio show, why I do, you know, teach classes, run support groups. And my answer is always the same. If I can help one person or one family, it's worthwhile. And I think it's pretty much the same with you. If you can help someone who is abusing substance or alcohol or whatever the case may be, and you can get them back on the right track, you know, and get on with their life again, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it's very gratifying, you know, to be able to put your head to the pillow at night and have a clear conscience and know that you're doing things ethically and you're
right.
helping the people that are able to be helped. And if this level of care is not enough, you're referring them appropriately or you're bringing the family in to try to figure out how we can support this person more. And it's even more exciting that we'll have those mental health programs in the near future, hopefully, where we'll be able to have a similar level as the substance abuse program already and even more intensive with the mental health program, because
right.
I have colleagues that I've worked throughout my training with who, you know, I know from my own training places that I've worked and colleagues I've worked with, all these different hospitals and other levels of care where they would need a place to step down to or, you know, step over to and that's something that's not so much in this immediate local area. So I think once we have the mental health IOP and partial hospital as well, that should be a large benefit to the folks in the area. I mean, there's folks that, you know, we have talked to seriously about. And that's another thing that I think is great about our staff. And this is a message that I, you know, give them because, again, it's about what's best for the patient. So there's patients that come to us. We may feel that we're doing outpatient therapy. We might even offer it twice a week. And the patient is getting better, that's great. But if the patient is still struggling and feels they need more and we don't have the IOP for mental health yet, we have referred out because we feel the patient needs to get better as opposed to us keeping the patient in our office.
Right.
And then hopefully they'll come back to us when they finish the IOP. If they choose not to, that's of course up to them. But if they had a solid connection with one of our therapists but they needed a little bit more for right now in terms of support, then they can come back to us. And down the road, once we have those programs, like I said, we can keep that continuity because they can shift into one of our mm-hmm. programs at a higher level.
Right.
So I'm excited about that as well.
You know, it's funny because when I give, we give a monthly presentation to the Educational Services Commission, and the lady I do it with, she is big on PowerPoint and stuff, which is beyond my knowledge. But anyway, she'll throw up the first couple screens as all these famous people who have mental illness. And, you know, one of the ones I always comment on is Buzz Aldrin. Here's a guy that was an astronaut and walked on the moon and suffers from major depression. You know, Winston Churchill, you know, suffered from major depression, carried England on his back for about 7 years during the Second World War. And I just tell people that you may not be the Prime Minister of England. You may not be an astronaut, Thomas Jefferson. You may not be president, but you can live a good life. You know, you can get through this and live a good life. Yes, there are certain things you have to do, but, and it's the same thing with substance abuse or alcoholism. There's certain things they have to do, but providing they do them, there's no reason why they can't live a normal life. And I think that's, you know, that's part of, you know, what you're doing and what we're doing on from NAMI's point of view and what you're doing to get these people to understand that, you know. Will they have setbacks? Sure. A lot of them will, almost all of them. But, you know, it doesn't mean that they can't go on, and it doesn't mean that they can't succeed. And that's what, you know, to me is it's all about, you know.
Right, and I think that's a huge point. I mean, a lot of what NAMI's mission is, a lot of clearly what you're dedicating your time for and doing, a lot of what we've tried to do, we've had several free-of-charge educational workshops that we've offered just to local residents in the area talking about teen addiction, adult addiction, just general mental health issues that have been available for people to just come and talk to our staff and get some education just from a layperson's perspective about, you know, if they're seeing, you know, signs or concerns in their family members that they're, that they have. So we're very much trying to do what the mission is of kind of eradicating as much as we can that stigma that mental health unfortunately has. I mean,
unfortunately, it's true.
Yeah. And the show, you know, the title of your show, Mental Health Matters, I mean, that's perfect, because we seem to find so many people who unfortunately are struggling with the symptoms, but somehow it matters less than something else going on.
Right.
But it matters just as much, if not more, to have a quality of life that they could have if they took care to, properly address the symptoms and treat themselves with the respect that they deserve to be treated with, that they come first, you know, when it comes to these things as well. And as we can hopefully educate the public about the fact that, you know, one of the examples I use, since I'm a prescriber as well, and I'm very conservative with medication, quite honestly. I use minimal amounts of medications and low doses, but I still feel that there's a benefit to them in the right clinical context.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I liken it to if you walked into the doctor's office and you had high blood pressure and you tried to eat right and exercise, but you still had high blood pressure the next couple of visits, and he said, take this pill, it'll control your blood pressure so you don't have a heart attack or a stroke in the future. You wouldn't question taking that pill, I would think. But when it comes to take this pill or go to this therapy or go to this 12-step group, you know, the doctor and the therapist is suggesting these things, and you will hopefully prevent a relapse. You will hopefully prevent another episode of depression or mania or a psychotic break if you do these things and take care of yourself. Then we start questioning whether we should do that or not, or whether, you know, it really matters that we do those things or not. But we don't question it with hypertension or diabetes or you know, other things that are going on.
Exactly.
So it's you know, and it's difficult to see sometimes patients inadvertently, I think, working against themselves because they're not giving themselves that value where they deserve better.
Mm-hmm.
They deserve more. And if we can lift the stigma and make it, you know, understandable to folks that mental illness is a lot of ways akin to physical illness. You just don't see symptoms on the outside, or you can't pick it up with a blood test necessarily.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it doesn't affect the person's life.
Right.
And we need to support them and help them to get better. And that's, I guess, that kind of answers how to get into psychiatry, you know, because this stuff really matters a lot to me. And that's kind of where the passion came from for the practice and for the Center for Wellness. And hopefully we can do a good job out there.
Well, it sounds like you're doing an excellent job, Doctor. And, you know, it's ironic because someone once called me from California, a young Asian lady, and she suffers from severe depression and bipolar. And so we were talking on the phone like you and I are now, and she says, I don't take medication. I says, okay, what do you do? And she says, well, I exercise a lot, and I'm into holistic. I says, okay, does it work? She says, yeah, it's been working great. I says, okay. She says, you mean to tell me you're not going to tell me to take meds? I says, no. First of all, I'm not a doctor. Second of all, why change if it's working? And third of all, just understand that maybe down the road you might have to take a med, you know, to keep the balance. But if it's working right now, it's fine, you know. And I'm all for what works, you know. I mean, it may not be the same thing for every person that comes into your center, but it's not going to deviate that much from what I understand. And as long as it helps them, you know.
And I wanted to speak to that for a quick second. I know we're coming to the end here, but you mentioned the holistic approach that this young person was discussing with you, and that's, you know, I chose the name Center for Wellness because we do want to think about wellness in general. And in fact, what we have available for the IOP as we grow is also, we have art therapists who are interested in working with us. We have music and dance therapists who are interested in working with us. We use relaxation and meditative types of interventions. Not solely, of course, we do have the psychoeducation. We talk [S2] Right. [S1] About relapse prevention. We talk about 12 steps. We do the family education piece. We encourage family involvement quite a bit, as you know, you could probably assume from my kind of coming back again and again to the family piece. But we do encourage that quite a bit. But alongside that, we feel like there's other pieces to the puzzle in a holistic way that can help a person, you know, feel that this is a more personal connection than, rather than rote discussion of, mm-hmm. well, let's learn these things about addiction. You know what I mean? It's right. a different feeling, we hope. And that's a large part of what we want to also provide to people as well.
Of course. In our last minute or so, would you like to give your, how people would get a hold of you or the center, either email, telephone, sure. whatever?
Absolutely. So one of the better ways to get a hold of us is either our website, which is centerforwellnessnj.com, all spelled out except for the NJ, of course, no dashes or anything. And our phone number is 732-655-4CFW, our acronym, and that's 655-4239. And we're located in Monroe Township, as I mentioned, a couple miles from the Turnpike, 130 and 33, actually. So we're accessible from Mercer, Monmouth, Middlesex, Ocean, probably 20 minutes, as we were saying earlier.
Yeah.
So it's pretty accessible. Again, if you call, you'll either speak with Lori, most likely, or myself, as you can tell from our meeting in December at the NAMI conference, we're kind of, you know, the faces and the names attached to Center for Wellness, and Lori's been great in all of this. But we do hope that we can be available to offer services to folks that are in need. We just, not to get too much into it at the last minute, but from a financial standpoint, I can assure folks out there who are, I'm sure, you know, thinking about that aspect of treatment, we do whatever we can to really meet people where they are and discount things and waive things and bring costs down.
That's awesome.
I don't take up too much of your time, but I know that we've done a good job.
That's awesome. And that's good to know. You know, it's now your private practice. Would they get the same number to reach you at your private practice, or is that different, or?
My private practice is actually technically separate. If you'd like, I can give you that contact as well.
Sure.
The website is just my first initial, my last name, and my degree. So it's www.singhmd.com. My number is 609-245-8550, and I'm in Freehold a couple days a week and in the Monroe office, the same location as Center for Wellness, a couple times a week as well. And our address for the Center for Wellness is on that website. My private practice addresses are on my website.
Dr. Singh, I can't thank you enough for coming on. And I will promise you this. I will reach out to you again and have you back on, because I think, I think what you're doing is just awesome. And, you know, when the mental health IOP comes through and so on and so forth down the road, I'd like to have you back on again just to speak a little bit about that. So, like I said, Doctor, I really appreciate it. It's what you're doing is awesome, and I really mean that. I'm not just saying it. And I will have you back again.
Oh, thank you so much for those kind words and for your time and for the opportunity. I appreciate very much being able to talk to you, and I would be happy to come back on.
Well, that'd be great. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your week, Doctor.
You too. Take care.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
The front end loader goes through, it's clear. Come back an hour or two later, and all the snow is back in the street that people took off their cars, and you take 27 inches of snow off a bunch of cars, you literally will block a street.
New York City's mayor is urging New Yorkers not to shovel snow from parked cars to the streets. At a briefing this morning, Bill de Blasio said he's pleased with how things are going in Manhattan, the Bronx, and Brooklyn, but is sending more front loaders and plows into Queens.
But we've got to finish this job today.
De Blasio says Queens is large, has small streets, and got a little more snow than the other boroughs. But de Blasio says the city is still hiring workers to shovel snow from fire hydrants, crosswalks, and bus stops. The mayor defended his decision to keep schools open today. So far today, over 1,500 flights around the U.S. airports have been canceled. Also, this weekend's historic storm brought huge tidal surges. This is USA Radio News.
Sometimes what you want most from your car is nothing. No headaches, no surprises. No anxiety when it's late at night and you're on some distant freeway in a thunderstorm. Owning a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz can be that anxiety-free experience on every level. You know you're in one of the safest and most thoughtfully engineered vehicles on the road. And with an unlimited mileage warranty, you can drive as far as you want for up to 3 years, with roadside assistance included. Your sense of confidence and adventure are as unlimited as the warranty itself. Now you can drive the car of your dreams and realize that nothing is everything. And during the certified pre-owned sales event going on now through February 29th, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. Only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
The Democratic candidates for president will meet one last time tonight before the Iowa caucuses next Monday. Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and Martin O'Malley will all be at Drake University in Des Moines to participate in a town hall forum. Sanders is rising in the polls, and most pundits expect Clinton to go after the Vermont senator in an effort to regain the momentum. An American pastor who spent more than 3 years in an Iranian prison is being reunited with his family under unusual circumstances. Saeed Abedini was one of five men released as part of a prisoner exchange with the U.S. He meets with his wife and children today at a Christian retreat founded by evangelist Billy Graham in North Carolina. Efforts to restrict abortion in North Dakota are hitting a roadblock today at the U.S. Supreme Court. A lower court struck down a Republican-supported law last year that would ban abortions after there's evidence of a fetal heartbeat. The Supreme Court refused to hear an appeal. A fetal heartbeat can potentially be detected at 6 weeks, a time frame opponents of the law argue that many women might not even know that they're pregnant. This is USA Radio News.